Episode 48 of Drunk on Comics. Just remember, never cry over spilt milk, because it could have been whiskey.
Or beer.
Yes. more pissed off over spilt whiskey. But
it's good advice. It's good advice.
Yeah. Any booze, you're going to be sad if you lose it.
Yeah.
What if it was milk? You're just like. Right. But what if it was like the milk in a White Russian or like half and half in a White Russian? Can you cry about that?
Yeah, I guess that would be one instance to cry over spilt milk.
What if you just replaced the cream or the milk in White Russian with rum chata instead?
Then that would not be a White Russian.
So, yeah. Would it be a
rum Russian?
A Mexican Russian? I don't know. A
Caribbean.
I'm
Puerto Rican Russian.
I'm curious to know. Okay, so you guys spilled a drink. How many have actually taken, pulled the glass up and then taking your tongue and ran it across the table trying to slurp up the sweet, sweet booze?
Yes. Floor, not so much.
Yeah. Not the floor.
Yeah, I've never licked it, but I have done that.
Hey, let's talk about comic books.
Yeah, hey, welcome to Drunk on Comics. This is our little podcast that we do about comics and conventions and some nerdly
other things,
other nuggets. A little bit of a warning though, we do use adult language, and we sometimes use crude humor.
We're also drinking while we're recording, so I don't know if we have to be on cable podcasting or not. But
no, see, that's the beauty of the internet. But so welcome, guys. My name's Derek.
I'm Matt.
Kevin
and Tony.
Hi.
So we're going to probably just kick things right off here with our weekly reviews on Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf, once again, is brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. Go check them out, MotorCityComicCon.com. It's 3 weeks.
3 weeks from now.
May 17th through the 19th, happening at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi, Michigan. Awesome.
Which is only, what is it, 30 minutes from the airport? 35 minutes?
From Detroit Metro?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
It's only a couple states over from California.
Yeah, so just fly in and make a day of it.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
three.
It's one border away from Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, there are a lot of people from Canada that come to that show, which is great.
Really? I had no idea.
Dude, check out all the license plates over there.
I'll say all the polite people, they're from Canada.
Anybody that smells like bacon and whiskey, that isn't us.
I smell it.
So,
stink when I...
A bit of a warning for all of you. When we review our off-the-shelf book, these are comic books that have mostly come out this week, and we may spoil it like the Kardashians spoil everything.
Yeah.
So, So if you hear a book that we're reviewing and you haven't read the end of it, maybe read it, come back, you can hear our opinions.
Or do like I did last week. I actually fast-forward because Jim was talking about Sledgehammer.
Oh!
And I'm like, fuck you, Jim! but then I realized, oh yeah, I have the ability to fast forward.
Well, don't fast forward.
Just pause.
Yeah. read your book and then come back. Did you go back and listen to it then?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God, you're a terrible person.
No. But I read it though.
Oh, okay.
I did actually read it.
Well, see, now you can go back and listen to Jim's review and see what you think. So. All right, who's kicking it off?
I will go ahead and start. It's hard for me to pick a book.
Sorry. I don't know why that just made me laugh, because like you're rarely at a loss for words.
Yes, and I am at a loss for words because the books this week, I mixed emotions on them all. I do need to point out I thought was the best story I read was in Fantastic Four, but that's not the book I'm going to talk about, just because there's not much to talk about. I've already talked about Fantastic Four multiple times. It was a cool spacefaring trip through the cosmos, and it also talked about Ben Grimm's one day a year where he gets to turn back into human, so he wants to go back home. So hopefully they're going to get rid of that other FF series and then have Fantastic Four back on Earth. That'd be cool. I've been liking their adventures throughout, like I said, Marvel's time travel.
Space.
However, it'd be cool to see them set more on Earth. However, the book I'm going to talk about this week is Guardians of the Galaxy, and I need my brother to help me back it up because I'm torn with how much I have loved Guardians of the Galaxy over the years, and I feel that it might turn into a shit pile.
Mm.
I've said Bendis is a great writer. He is, and he weaves his stories in intricate ways to where it could come pull it off later on in the series. But the story right now for me feels like it's ignoring all the past. So as I said, Brian Michael Bendis has written this. Pencils by Steve McNiven and Sarah Pichelli. Inkers John Dell, Mark Morales, Steve McNiven, and Sarah Pichelli. Holy shit, there's a lot of people that did stuff on this.
Yeah.
Colors, Justin Ponser.
Dude, the title page looks like the credits at the end of Star Wars.
There's a lot of names that did this book, so kudos to all those four.
Who did letters?
VC's Corey Petit.
Ah.
So, getting into this, obviously it follows what happened in book number one, because this was book number two.
Well, you never know. They might have time traveled in between there, so...
Yeah. They already were talking with Iron Man about how Peter Quill wants to pretty much be a protector of Earth. And he was told by his dad that Earth is off limits for intergalactic war. In this book, it kind of gets to more of how that came about. The Kree, Supreme Intelligence.
Gladiator, the Queen of the Brood, Annihilus.
The Brood thing I just didn't understand.
The major races or species that are intelligent enough for space travel, except for Earthlings.
What about Skrull?
Skrulls were missing.
Skrulls were missing from that, but I think the Skrulls are all like...
They're pretty fucked up right now.
Yeah, but it was all the other majors and the Asgardians. They all mother. Yeah.
I had a problem with the way that was set up, because the Brood, that just doesn't seem like someone you would invite to a friendly conversation.
The Badoon would be there, and that Annihilus was hosting it in the Negative Zone.
Yeah.
I
could see, the Supreme Intelligence and possibly the Shi'ar Empire, and hell, even maybe a Skrull in there.
What was the, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I want to, and I have a hard time with this galactic shit. I think Kevin's kind of in the same boat where it's like we don't have a whole lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Warlock from New Mutants, what was he again?
He's a Phalanx.
He's a Technoarch. Is what they're called.
Okay. But I was thinking of the Phalanx.
Yeah. Phalanx is part of a... Like Adam Warlock?
No, different Warlock.
The mechanical, computerized digital guy.
Phalanx came from the Technoarch.
All right, anyways.
So they have this discussion of what they're going to do to Earth, and some of them wanted to go to war, some wanted to destroy it. Finally, Freya, the all-godmother of the Norse gods, said, no, it's off-limits.
It's under my protection.
Under my protection. So then they go, all right, we agree, it's off-limits. Which is something that the cosmos of Marvel have been fighting over Earth for forever.
See, that's Jason... The Peter Quill's Star-Lord's father and the ruler of the Spartex galaxy, which I'm like, really? The Spartans? Okay, anyways, I just thought it was a lame name for him.
Well.
But they apparently, this is what he wants, though. He wants to get Earth. And so by saying, yeah, no one gets to go to Earth, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that's what he was getting at in that meeting.
But ultimately, the Badoon are kind of like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
And they decide to attack.
Or they did it because he told them to.
That could have been true. Ooh, the secrets.
Ooh, yeah.
Wait. So the Badoon is just sent one guy? It's a whole bunch of guys?
The Badoon are a bunch of reptile-y, vicious. They're like the Klingons, I think.
Honestly, I haven't heard the name Badoon since X-Men board game.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 90s. Wow.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
and it was just a character on the card that says Badoon, and
yeah, the Badoon.
It's a race.
In the original Guardians of the Galaxy, the first incarnation of it back in, I think it came out 60s or 70s-ish. Yeah. That was set in a future timeline of the Marvel Universe, and that's where these characters were. So they kind of did some space time traveling to meet with the Avengers a couple times. Rick Jones and his many. Hanging out with the Avengers and Hulk's time travel too to them. And the Badoon in this future universe take over the galaxy. They're kind of like
they're most warlike and stuff.
Yeah, so they pretty much destroy all others, and Earth is like the last one that they want to go. And that's what the original Guardians of the Galaxy is about. So having them kind of being more in the normal present time with this new incarnation of Guardians of the Galaxy makes sense in a way, but it also feels like it's rehashing the same story. Oh, they're going to attack them again, this and that. They're going to try to take over. But my, like I said, my biggest problem is Star-Lord was who he is because he was the last of the Spartax. He was the last of that empire, and his, you know, the his homeworld kind of blew up. So why the fuck is his dad here and the whole empire back? Where did that come from?
Well, just even looking at what Peter Quill looks like now, back in the Annihilation one, where he refounded the Guardians of the Galaxy, he had black hair, and he had, like, robotic cybernetic implants for his eyes. So he didn't look human anymore. Now he's, like, blonde-haired and looks like an Aryan.
He reminds me of that guy with something, the real girl.
Somebody kept saying he looks like Ryan Gosling.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, Ryan Gosling.
Maybe they're getting him to play him in the movie.
I really don't care. Whatever. Either or,
I'm confused on why his dad's back. I'm confused on what's going on. I know Bendis is a great storyteller. I just hope that the next issue redoes it for me in the way of... The art was awesome.
I thought it was hilarious, though, that Rocket Raccoon is flying around shooting people going, blam, murdered you. Blam, murdered you.
So did they regrow Groot?
They're trying to regrow.
Because he got blown up at the end of issue one.
They kept flashing back to, like, because they showed Rocket putting him in some dirt to regrow him. And they kept flashing back to him, like, growing. But nothing came of that, so...
Yeah, it was...
It's just this, like, you know, he's got... Tony is showing the Tony's microphone, the comic.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, it didn't even look different. Like, it just... Well, that's what Groot's happening with Groot.
Maybe he hasn't been able to root his Groot. I don't know.
Derek, so, what do you got?
I got something that I think I enjoyed a hell of a lot more than you did on your book. I got Uncanny X-Men number 5.
Holy shit, no Daredevil?
Well, no, there were 2 Daredevils last week. There's no Daredevil this week.
Oh...
Damn Marvel, it. You're slowing down.
I finally watched the Daredevil movie. I was hoping to jump in on your Daredevil talk. I was going to tell you how fucking awesome Ben Affleck was.
Except you'd be lying.
No! I thought that movie was...
Look at me, I'm mouth breathing okay. Like that. Actually, the director's cut was a much better version of the movie, and I still give it like a B rating.
The one
better than Ghost Rider.
Still better than Elektra.
That's true, too.
Oh, God. So, anyway, this is also written by Brian Michael Bendis. Art on this one is Fraser Irving, which it's kind of cool to see him take this over. For listeners and you guys, too, at least you guys here probably are most recently familiar with him doing the covers on the Bedlam book from Image. And Joe Caramagna did lettering on this as well. And so... Basically, this issue here revolves almost entirely around Ilyana Rasputin, her magic. And her being one of the people that had the Phoenix Force and then lost it, her powers are getting really fucked up. Well, at the tail end of last issue, she kind of poofed away, you know, just unbeknownst. This gives you what happened when she poofs away. She actually went back into Limbo and...
She didn't bamf away? Poofed away.
No, she poofed away. And,
Bamf's been trademarked. Dormammu! Dreaded Dormammu.
Yeah, and he's pissed at her. Because, basically, he's saying that, like, with her not controlling her power, with her neglecting Limbo and all this, it's jeopardizing him and his world.
Oh.
And, fuck you. I'm not gonna allow you to do that, you stupid mortal little girl. And, so... starts going after her, she kind of wigs out a little bit, loses control, and goes into her full beast mode, I guess, if you will, of the Dark Child.
Okay.
And just unleashes hell. I mean, just...
Or Limbo?
Yes.
Okay.
Unleashes Limbo.
A Limbo! She goes really, really low.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's like some music that, you know...
Magic powers really help you to get really low on Limbo.
Yeah, and her friends start floating like in Beetlejuice. You know, it's good times. But, yeah, I mean, it's very, very interesting. She's struggling with her powers in this. And it's kind of Scott Summers talking to her, like, back in the real world while she's recounting all this, that she had no control of it and that she was terrified because she let this darker side of herself come out again and really couldn't control. Then at the tail end, they all of a sudden she loses control of her powers again, or someone has taken control of it, and she transports herself and all of this X-Men team with their quote-unquote new students, transports all of them back into Limbo, and that's it.
I think that's really cool in two ways. One, it's going to have this story arc, or the story kind of doing its own thing, because right now it's been very tied up with all new X-Men and back and forth. So this is kind of cool that they're going to have their own little misadventures in Limbo right now, and all new X-Men can kind of do their thing so that it doesn't feel like it's two books telling the same story.
Yeah.
So I was kind of happy how that direction went. I'm kind of glad they're now finally talking about Magix, what's wrong with her. Because remember, right after the
Phoenix, she seems fine. Yeah, everyone else's powers sucked and hers were fine.
Yeah.
Even Magneto's powers suck, and he didn't have the Phoenix Force.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his got broken, too, which is weird. That
yeah, actually, when the hell did that happen?
At the same time, like, when they realized I think they described it as he was in such close proximity to Scott and the rest of them. But I don't see anything happening with Psylocke or Storm or any of the other X-Men.
Wolverine. Yeah. And Professor X, he's a... Oh, wait, oops.
He's the Red Skull now.
I did like the one thing that Magic said, though, about how before she never really understood her powers, but it was enough. She just, you know, she got by with a little help from her friends and knowing a little bit about magic and what she could do with ruling Limbo. She pretty much kind of was confessing to Scott, I don't know what's going on. This is way above me, and even before was above me. We could be fucked. And then,
yeah. This book is all the reasons that I've loved the X-Men books, like, all my life. Like, I've liked them, you know, and I'll always like them. This was a love for me. I mean, it brought me back in. I'm like, you know what? This is why it's such a great, good cast of characters, why you can do so many good things. There are some little funny things in there, too. You know, when the one guy's checking out
the Cuckoo Sisters.
The Cuckoos and... And, of course, they can read their mind, and they're like, hey, what's your name? He's like, I don't remember. And they're like, we'll make you forget what sex you are if you ever think thoughts like that about us again. You know, the other interesting point is that Angel in here from the original X-Men that's transported into the future, that he is now questioning whether or not he made the right choice to join that school or not.
It would be great is if he made that choice because Jean Grey made him. Mind control them again.
You know what? That's very possible.
You know what I love so much, though, is how many times you've said, fuck this, I'm not picking it up again, when they canceled the title, renumbered it, and then you did, and then if they ever bring Jean Grey back,
If they resurrect Jean Grey, they didn't resurrect her.
No.
Yeah.
They time traveled her. Big difference.
Yeah. But I do have to say the art and the colors in this are just gorgeous. Cool. Fraser Irving, fantastic job. So
can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
Thanks for spoiling it.
Hey, that's what I do. I'm like the ninth Kardashian. And I'm just as fat as Kim is now.
Kevin, what you got?
Before I go on, what the heck? Red Skull and Professor X?
Professor Xavier's dead, and the Red Skull stole his brain and grafted it with his own. So now the Red Skull has Xavier's
psychic powers.
Are you serious? It was the first story arc for Uncanny Avengers, and at the very end of it, they alluded to Red Skull becoming Onslaught. So it's like some weird shit happening over
that's
there.
Some
Remenders.
And this just recently happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also it's the end of the ADX.
So that's happening now.
Marvel now.
You must not have been here.
Yeah,
do you listen when the rest of us are talking on the podcast?
Well, no. Well, probably what it was is when he, like, I don't think he was here that week. And I'm guessing he probably fast-forwarded through that part when he listened to it at home.
So. All right, Kevin,
what
do you
got? I'm just thinking that it could be like a whole new story arc beyond Age of Ultron, which is good, which is great, by the way. I continue to enjoy that. But, I'm just going to... Actually, guys, I have a long box segment for you. I'm going to bring out the long box. I haven't done it in a while. I'm just going to do a quick... I'm not even really talk about the book itself. I just wanted to mention...
You want to read your comics on air so I can see how you're holding it.
Well, okay. So you guys picked up occasional DC comics. Have you noticed in the last week that all their covers have been two pages?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the exception of Batman?
Yeah. That was the Mad Folding, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Constantine one was a fold-out, and...
Yeah, and the one that Chris did last week, that was a fold-out.
Everything, I mean, issue 19 was, but...
Well, this had to somehow make up for the 52 variant flag issues.
They're trying to recoup costs, I don't know.
I don't know much about... This is my first issue of a Savage Hawkman that I ever picked up, but...
And it looks like he's fighting Wolverine.
A little bit. He's, you know, he's like a white great ape.
It looks like Blockbuster is his name.
Yeah,
he's gonna go out of business.
And honestly, I've been Netflix is gonna killing me about this whole issue. Is I just think about it and I think of the Blockbuster video store chain. I don't know why that's just making me laugh.
That's awesome, and I hope his secret hideout is called the Red Box.
Yeah, honestly, this is my first foray in Savage Hawkman, and
are you going to continue?
Maybe, but I mean, this kind of tie that into what Matt and I both read.
Actually,
which how do you guys?
I read it as well.
What?
Oh my God, it's a hat trick!
Yeah, I did not.
It sucks to be you.
Yep.
Anyways, this is the reason I'm drinking mead today. We've got Helheim.
I thought the reason you were drinking mead today is because.
It was what was available.
And it's, yeah, it was there.
It was honor, you know, I would say we'd be doing a Thor book or something, but, you know, this is about Vikings, too. This is Helheim number 2 from
like
Cullen Bunn
Thor.
And Joel Jones.
Joel Jones, yeah.
Nick Filardi.
By Oni Press, by the way.
By Oni Press, yep. Letters by Ed Brisson, because letterers totally need their respect.
Colors.
Oh, cool.
Did you say colors?
I said Nick, right?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I said...
Sorry, I'm drinking too much.
story in this, if you're catching up to it, it's about Vikings, and there's like this savage tribe of wild men that keep coming after this young lady, redheaded lady, who everyone says is a witch. And so in the first issue, our main character gets killed. And you're like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. Only to be transformed into a hulking, Frankenstein-like Viking dude.
Badass motherfucker.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
This issue picks up right off that his father is very upset by what the witch has done to his son. And so he's planning on trying to kill this abomination that's been created. But
he's saying that that's not his son anymore.
Yeah, Rickard is the name of the big hulking beast. He says it's not my son anymore. The witch has done something awful to him. So they're gonna follow him out and kill him. Well, the big thing is, and I'm trying to remember the witch's name.
Bera,
thank you very much. Bera has created him because there's another witch, Groa, who seems to be sending all the wild men after her. And so she has created Rickard, this giant hulking beast, to protect her and go kill the witch. So most of this book takes place out on the road where some savage wild men are attacking some of our friendly Vikings, shall we call them?
Well, yeah, which, by the way, those wild men that are out there are kind of... At first I was like, wait, are they human or are they not human?
They seem to have some kind of, like, animalistic qualities. They've got this one... Their leader has, like, these spikes growing out of him and this big, decrepit hand.
And, well, you know, and like, the little spikes, you know, above his eyebrows, almost like Doomsday style.
Yeah.
On, you know, the guy that killed...
But they describe that as that's what Groa, this other witch... So this,
she grew of them some horns?
She grew of them some horns. Yeah. And so this guy's like total badass, and then he's beating Helheim, cuts off his hand. Helheim bites his throat off when he like is most helpless. He bites the guy's throat off and kills him. So Bear shows back up and says, "Come on, Rickard, you can't do this. I gotta patch you back up. You're not invulnerable. You're just really badass."
And then she proceeds to give him a mouth hug.
Yes. And then she takes the big clawed hand from that bad guy. And, like, grafts it back to his skin. So now he's got this big hulking claw from the guy he just, like, killed. It was pretty awesome.
You know, I missed that part that I thought she sewed his own hand back on. I didn't realize she sewed it.
No, but if you look into the later pages, you can see that he's got a big, like, gnarly claw.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. So anyways, my favorite part now, though, is when we get to the end. He's basically, like, walked through the ocean, and there's a boat out there watching him just come out of the sea. And he goes to the village where the wild men are, where this other witch, Groa, is. And what's great about it, though, is you see all the wild men, and they've got houses. They've got children. They're playing. They're doing their thing. And so this is, it's like it's just this other village of Vikings. They just seem to be at war with each other, but they're not these savage brutes that they've been made out to be so far. Like, they actually, you know, seem to have families and care about things, when before it's just been all they've been about is murder. And so we get to see Helheim, like, stalking them, and then he's waiting for his chance to kill. So that'll be in the next book. But
it's a good book.
It is. The art is great.
The art is great. The color palette is freaking amazing.
All the blues just make you feel like you're in the frozen north.
Well, and
then the blood, like, is just splashing off the page.
Yeah, it's a so very, red. Very muted palette to start out. And then as it goes through, like, I mean, especially, like, when you see after that major fight. I mean, yes, you obviously have the reds, but they aren't, like, drastically over the top bright red. It's more of that dark crimson. But then, like, the sky with the red in the back, you know, where it's you know, it's dusk or it's dawn, whatever it may be. And, you know, you see the stars, but the sky is still red. It's just really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, I kind of got sort of a different opinion about this, because honestly, it was blah, blah, blah. Really, I did not enjoy it the first time I read it through. Issue 2, keep in mind.
Yeah.
Because I read this on an airplane, and I'm just like, bang. Next. So then I got back into town, went to my comic book store, and I'm looking for issue 12 of Superman Family Adventures.
Yep.
They didn't have it, goddammit. But they had this, issue 1. And I saw issue 1, and it made me actually go back to what I listened on the podcast. The podcast, because you guys were discussing, was it Flash 19? There was a DC title, number 19. DC Presents. DC Presents, thank you. And Flash was on the cover. And you guys were talking about a good jumping in point, and who was your special guest? Was
Chris?
Chris.
Chris. Chris the bartender.
Yeah, Chris the bartender, man. He said something that stuck with me, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pick up issue 1, and I'm happy I did. Because I read issue 1, I really liked it, and I read, went back in 2, and now I know what you guys are talking about. Because, honestly, the first time I read it, I totally disagree, but coming back around, I'm like, okay, I get what you guys are talking about, because I read the first issue. So that's
about the context that he, you know, he's got this relationship with his dad and all these things going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's,
it looks like just another big hulking brute guy. But
so that's why, like, I kind of joke about Savage Hawkman number 19 this week, and it was a meh. But you know what? I don't know. There's something. They gave me a little glimpse of hope in that issue that I might go back and check that out. But don't mean to take anything away from a review, but that's how I felt about one and two of this comic I still can't pronounce.
It's Helheim. Helheim. It's, you know, it's one of those things that with comics, what's, I think, distracts a lot of people or puts them away from that is that, man, they're on issue, you know, 14 now. Do I have to really go back and read all these other ones because it's expensive to buy them? And even if you're going to get a graphic novel, it's still going to, you know, put you back $10, $15.
Oh, yeah, or you know, like Walking Dead. I mean, that was, you know.
A lot of independent books, you kind of do need to get the whole story to get the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Because they kind of evolve throughout that. As friend of the show Dirk Manning is fond of saying, that with the big two, the characters are relatively going to stay the same. You're going to get some fun, exciting stories, but the status quo is going to come back. And I think there's a lot of good starting on points with Marvel or DC. But yeah, especially when you've got like a short run issue, because I doubt that this is going to turn into a long-term project.
I hope it does.
The two of them, they said they both wanted to get together. They wanted to tell this story. And it sounds to me like they've got a story with a beginning, middle, and end, and they're okay walking away from it after that. Those are the stories you really need to read one through whatever.
Yeah. Did you hear that just a little bit ago? That was a name drop.
Oh, yeah.
No, good book. Cullen Bunn, though, I, you know, more often than not, I'm very, very happy with his stories. So
honestly, this is the first time where I didn't judge a book by the cover. I just looked at, like, probably 40 comics on the shelf. And I'm like, I don't know what to pick up because I knew I wasn't gonna pick up anything Marvel.
That's what I felt with when I found number one. I go, this looks interesting. It's got a cool title. I've not heard of, you know.
But then did you see Colin? I saw Cullen Bunn. You know, you know why like Cullen Bunn.
Yeah, because Cullen Bunn does The Sixth Gun, which Kevin really loves. But you know, I mean, he also did Deadpool Kills Marvel Universe. He did Deadpool Killustrated. He's done God knows how many other things out there. The Venom series. I mean, he does a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been very happy with him as a writer as a whole. So that's why when I saw this was coming out, issue one before, I was like, oh, sweet. I put it on my poll. But, all right. Well, I think that does it for Off the Shelf this week.
Brought to you by
Motor City Comic Con. Go see him at MotorCityComicCon.com. Go check out that guest list. It's awesome. We're 3 weeks away, May 17th through the 19th in Novi at the Suburban Collection Showplace.
I heard we might be there.
Oh, we will be there. With bells on. Not much more than that. But
it's going to need a really big bell.
Yeah. Well, you
cowbell.
You might need a big bell.
All right, moving on to
Indy Turnpike.
Indy Turnpike already? Yeah. All right.
It's a super speedway over here.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry. To any of our racing fans out there, I saw Danica Patrick the other day on the Colbert Report.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just her or that's how her personality, but she sounded dumber than a box of crayons. I'm sorry, but
well, that's
because
she does NASCAR.
Well, she doesn't have to be smart, you know.
She was also wearing a GoDaddy, like, sure. Oh, like, shamelessly promoting GoDaddy.com.
It's either that or Peak.
You mean kind of like Peak. How, like, whenever I go out, I wear a Drunk on Comics shirt?
That's pretty good. All right.
Yeah. All right, Indy Turnpike this week is actually something a little different than normal. Right now I'm reviewing a book that is only digital. I'm also reviewing a book that is not published by a real publisher.
But you also have a physical copy.
I do have a physical copy. It's because I have a, I kind of got an in with the people that did this. It's called The Art of Guilt, which it's written by...
Is this a Catholic book?
No. It's
Jewish mom?
I was going to say it is a Jew. Yeah.
All right. The Art of Guilt by...
The Art of Guilt, written by Rob Weber, and art by a very good friend of the show, name drop, Jim Toe.
What?
I know Jim.
Yeah. For what people that have listened to us before, Jim is otherwise known as Sideshow Jim or Jim the Intern or...
Midnight Train.
Yeah, Midnight Jim. Yeah, whatever.
Oh my God, how many names did he come up with while I was gone? God damn.
Well, you got to drink with us more often. So, this comic, for those of you at home, obviously you can't pick this up in stores. I do have a physical copy, thanks to Jim. But you need to go to theartofguilt.com, and you can download it for only $1. This story revolves around a group of college kids that are at a party. And basically, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, guy likes girl kind of thing. Girl necessarily doesn't like him quite as much. You can kind of tell she's had too much to drink, and then they lose her, and it's kind of this whole thing of trying to find the girl. Where'd Heather go? Where'd Heather go? And the thing I really loved about this book, well, there are two things. As far as the writing and the story went, the characters are actually really natural. And this whole college party thing, I've been out of college for a while now. I actually was just talking to a friend this morning about how long it's been, and I'm not going to say that number on the air. But
back when the dinosaurs were around.
Yeah. Fucking hate
you. He learned
guys.
Like chalk drawings on the cave walls.
Well, chalk drawings? We didn't have chalk for years. We were using, like, you know, chunks of charcoal out of the fire and the blood of the saber-toothed tigers. So, but no, I liked it because the great thing about it, the reason I think I was so drawn to this book was that even though I've been out of college for a long time, it took me right back, and I'm happy to find out that apparently I don't think college parties are any different now than they were when I was in college. It's the same shit.
A lot of penis drawing on faces of people who were blacked out.
Yeah, some mushroom stamps, a little teabagging.
Did you hear that we drew a penis on Mars? The rover in its tracks as it was looking for something drew a big penis.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so,
maybe been on purpose, but anyways, that's you brought up penis drawings. So.
That's noteworthy.
That is, later. Yeah, that is noteworthy.
That's news.
Yeah. But all right. So, I mean, I love the fact that, I mean, like, you see all the same bullshit, you know, that went on when I was there, and apparently it still goes on. And it was just really cool. I mean, there are a couple things in here, though, too. I mean, besides the naturalism of the characters, Jim Toe did a really nice job on the art, especially with the sequential storytelling. And I think that's where, like, you can tell that he and Rob have done a good collaboration on how to tell the story that they want to tell. They leave you with a couple cliffhangers. There's a couple little things in there, you know. But overall, I mean, I think the best way that it can probably be described is more of the grown-up Archie, you know. And it's not going to be anything supernatural.
Art's better than Archie.
Well, yeah, the art is quite good. And actually, the one thing about the art is that I've seen pictures of, you know, issue 2 and 3 and 4, and it gets better and better.
Well, that's what, just for people to download this art in itself for a buck is worth it.
Yeah.
Check out the story.
Yeah. Now, the one other thing that, one panel in particular, Kevin's got the hard copy. I'm going to pull it up here on my little iPad or whatever the fuck this thing is. There's one where they're, you know, one of the guys and one of the girls are going to look for, you know, their friend, and they're like, all right, so they split up. And I thought,
dude, it's a family circus style thing.
You know, you think family circus, I thought Benny Hill. You know, like just...
Got little dash lines for where they wandered through.
And I thought that was a really smart way to show a lot of action in one panel.
Yeah.
To move the story along and not slow it down. And it was something I was just really impressed with. But go check it out. It's black and white. It's not superhero. It's not magical. It's real life. And I really enjoyed it. So it's at theartofguilt.com. Go check it out. It's $1. I think there's a 4-page preview up there, so you can check it out now. But the other thing is when you download it, they'll email you your code, because I did it. You know, I actually went and it through PayPal, gave them a buck. You get your code. You can download it 3 times from that code. So you can download it to your phone, you can download it to your laptop, and you can download it to your tablet. You know.
Can I download it into a paper copy?
You could actually probably print it after you were done. Or maybe if you ask Jim nicely, he'll give you a paper copy.
Aw, thanks, Jim.
So, anyway, go check that out, guys. It's well worth the $1. It's actually worth a little bit more than that. But, you know, I'll take it for a buck because I'm cheap.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Tony, where are we going?
There's a segment that has been long time coming.
Long.
Coming. Kevin, you got your long
man,
box?
Man, yes.
Oh.
Yes, the long box returns.
Or as like I hear in the back, like when it's Kevin's long box coming, it's it came from the quarter bin.
Yeah, and honestly, this is probably where you'll find this issue. But I didn't actually read the issue. Okay, so...
Wait!
No, well, the issue itself is part of the collection. So I bring two things. I mentioned earlier that I was flying recently, okay? So when I fly, I bring two things.
Extra pair of shorts?
Well, no, besides the clothes. Okay. There's two things I bring. My Nintendo DS and one of these big, huge monstrosity books.
The Omnibus. Nice.
The
Essentials.
Yes, the particularly, I brought, with this recent trip I was on, Marvel's Essentials, Fantastic Four, Volume 6. So, if I hadn't said enough, thank God for these titles. Now, if you're not familiar with them, Marvel took about 20, 30 issues from back in the 60s and the 70s.
Oh, they have them up through the 80s?
Maybe even the 90s. They're still coming out with them, which is great. But what they do is they smush them together, strip the color, sell them from bargain basement prices. Sign me up. I'm a cheap motherfucker. All day.
It's a great way to read backstories.
And you can pick these up in the bargain bins at conventions.
But what I like about this when I'm flying is that it's all right here. Because otherwise, tear the tape and I'm...
Quit using tape!
I gotta use tape! I can't have them all flim-flam like you.
Well, yeah, but you got the self-sealers. The self-sealers?
There's still the zip...
Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay,
anyway, so...
Man, I was going to say, the one problem I always have with those is just the no color.
I tell you, the worst part about it is, like, I'm a big Green Lantern fan, a Green Lantern showcase. When they start talking about colors, I'm like, I'm imagining it.
But think of it this way, it's your own coloring book. You can draw in your own colors on the newspaper.
It'd be hard to read a Green Lantern in one of these because that object's not green.
Fortunately, in the early issues, the big thing about Green Lantern, it's yellow, and he'll often say, "Oh no, my shit ain't working because it's yellow." And
did they change that fact ever?
They have here and there, but
what, that he can't shit with yellow?
Yeah, yellow shit. If he has corn, he's done for.
Oh.
All right, guys, man.
Okay, back to.
I'm gonna get deep on you guys for a few moments. Okay. So
Kevin's going deep into the long box. All right.
So I can't explain why, but I'm a big believer in fate, destiny, all that shit. Okay. So I'm driving around St. Louis and I'm turning off the radio. I'm a big NPR fan. Love NPR. But listening to the radio, I find out that this is the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech by
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King. Yes, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Yes. Okay. So now if you don't know who he is or what that speech is, either one, you're incredibly young, and I don't know why the hell you'd be listening to this podcast. Two, you went to a really crappy school. Or three, you're not American. And I'm not going to fault you for not being American.
But he will fault you for your education.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so for the sake of moving things along, and because I hate it when you guys fucking give me the whirly bird. Speed it up. Okay, so I'm just going to assume you guys know what that speech is all about.
Yeah, no, please tell me.
Shut up, Tony.
Kevin went to a really shitty school and he's not American.
So, all right. In this Essentials book, I read Fantastic Four, issue number 119. Now, in this issue, you have Black... not Black Panther.
Black Bolt?
No, Black Cougar. Okay. Not Black Panther. Okay. Not Black Panther, but Black Cougar.
Oh.
Which I'll explain here in a moment.
It sounds like the chick that Jim was hitting on the other night.
So you have the Fantastic Four is being called by a friend of Black Cougar. And he's like, oh, Black Cougar is in trouble. You got to save him. So the Thing and the Human Torch get together, and then they go to, Wakanda.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. So they go to Wakanda, find out what's going on.
That's where the Black Panther's at, though.
Yes, but so is also the Black Cougar. Okay, yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Okay,
Twirly Bird, go on.
They find out that he went to neighboring Rudyarda.
Okay.
Okay, and in Rudyarda, he got put into custody because he's a black man. That was the exclusive reason why he was put into custody, because he was a black man. This country, Rudyarda, is a segregated country, just like down south.
South Africa?
South Africa, but also the 1940s, 50s America. And it actually, there's this big, huge conflict between Black Cougar and the Fantastic Four and Claw. But there's a lot of this book is about the segregation because there's big, everything is segregated. Europeans, blacks, whites, blacks. And I thought this issue was so well done to, I think it really captured what really happened back in that day. So, yeah, there's those things that happened. They also were trying to destroy this stolen device called the Vibrotron, which sounds
kinky.
Sounds like it came out of your long box.
But I thought this was... I heard all these reports about how Martin Luther King Jr. And then I go, honestly, like hours later, I read this issue about segregation and how backward this country is. And I just thought it was a really wonderful read. There's some hokey moments in it, like there's this, as they're flying to Wakanda, their guy decided to hijack the plane as the Thing is fucking sitting right next to him. Like, why would you hijack a plane when the Thing is sitting right next to you?
Well, yeah, but I mean, this was a 20-cent comic when it originally came out. So this
in the 70s. Yeah, so there's going to be some hokey moments in it. But honestly, I've read 137 issues of the Fantastic Four from 1 to 137. They're all kind of hokey in some sort of way. Oh, Yancey Street King, you know.
Oh, that still goes on now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of tiresome, but honestly, this was a heartfelt issue about racial issues, and I thought it was really well done. So, Fantastic Four 119, if you do find it in the quarter bin, pick it up.
Yeah, I don't think you'll find that in the quarter bin. I'm guessing it's probably going to be more in the
250.
Yeah, in the $2 to $5 bin. I'm guessing.
Oh, you might find a beat up copy for cheap. But so either Marvel Essentials Fantastic Four 6 or issue 119.
Sweet. All right, so Tony,
let's go into some news and notes.
News and notes.
You guys were cracking me up. Last week I listened to you and you guys were like, when do we have notes?
we have
notes. I have a good note because it's not news. It's definitely not new news. It's old news.
There's no good news with Gary Good News.
I was at work and one of my many jobs. I work at one of the MTechs.
Great was just... Space Coaster.
Hey, I'm gonna get on board that shit.
None of our listeners are 60, Derek.
So anyways, I came across this comic from the American Welding Society.
Now, where did you find this?
This is what I was trying to get to. One of my many jobs. I work at a career tech education. So they train people for job training in like automotive, construction. We have a welding lab. I teach people to work at heights and do rescues with ropes. So I'm kind of like Batman. It's pretty cool. But the welding department had a big showcase, and this guy was walking by with all these comics. I'm like, do you got comic books? He goes, yeah, man. I said, can I see one? So he gave me this. It's The Invincible Iron Man in Forging the Future. And
is there still a title called The Invincible Iron Man?
There might be, but this was back from 2009 is when it was first released. But basically, the American Welding Society, www.aws.org, give them a little... That's a little organization dropping there. but they hired, you know, writers from Marvel and got the rights to do this, like, advertisement for their programs. They chose Iron Man because Iron Man, Tony Stark, is a welder. Right, he knows how to, you know, put two pieces of metal together and seal them. Real quick, John Layman is writer, Robert Atkins is penciler, Troy Hubbs and Rick Ketchum is inkers, and Andrew Crossley is colorist, and VC's Corey Petit is letterer. Anyways, so this book from 2009, I'm sure the American Welding Society is still using it as, like, promo and stuff. And the first thing I'm thinking is, like, oh my gosh, this is way too hokey and campy. But as I started reading it, I go, wow, I'm going to remember these statistics. The fact that there are many different types of jobs in welding. And when the students are...
That's not really a statistic.
Yeah, I know it's not. Sure. What I'm going to say is I'm going to remember that...
a lot is...
These students who are featured in this, they all have to pick a project. And the one girl picked a bike all right, you know, she's going to weld together a bike frame, right? Because she's just like this, you know, really down-to-earth person, right? The other guy, he makes these, like, funny robots because you can do these fun artsy things with welding, too. And then one of the students comes in with a mask of Dr. Doom and says, for my project, I'm making Dr. Doom's mask. And they go, are you really going to wear that? He goes, no, I thought I'd make it like an ashtray or a paperweight or something. Damn it, I should have done an Iron Man mask instead. So it tells me right away, there's lots of different welding. It's not just about like going and doing bridge work.
Yeah,
and
it's
stuff,
artistic
but
welding.
There's artistic welding. There's practical welding. As we get into the comic, Tony Stark's talks about the fact that you can soldering iron circuit boards is a form of welding. It's no longer just about putting two pieces of metal and fusing them, but they use sonic energy to weld now. Am I
the only one that's expecting like a rainbow to go across behind Matt? The more you know.
Knowing is half the battle. Anyways, it's this really like, you know, cheesy comic, and there's a little Spy Master and Titanium Man are going after Tony Stark and his armor gets fried. But the students, because they know how to weld, are left all alone to weld up Iron Man's armor, which magically That's fixes terrible. All the circuitry and stuff inside.
This gives people unrealistic expectations that they think they can make Iron Man armor.
Well, but so no, but why wouldn't you be inspired? Why wouldn't you be inspired as a high school student to be like, I could go into welding. I could make my own Iron Man suit. That would be an awesome career choice for me.
The thing is Tony jokes about this, but like...
Secretly, he wishes he would take a shop class.
Around 1:30 tonight, you know, when we're out at the bar, he's like, I need to take up welding.
I'm already an alcoholic like Tony Stark. My name's Tony.
Yeah.
Right. I'm building my Iron Man costume tonight.
You can be Tony Sparks. The welder. Anyways,
and when he drinks too much, it'll be Tony Shirts.
It's 16 pages of actual art and story, which is, you know, at least on par for what you're getting in most comic books.
It's only about 6 pages short, but
yeah,
okay.
But the only advertisements in it are for the American Welding Association, which gives you information useful, you know, to say, hey, if you're interested in this career choice, you know.
So I'm curious where this is a note and not a review.
Yeah,
on
just
the comic.
We reviews like half an hour ago.
This is my newt.
Yeah, time for newts.
My newt. So, anyways,
I have some real newts.
No, I guess. All right, never mind. No, I was just going to ask.
Who gets this comic?
It's given to you when you go to, like, a career tech center or something like that to learn about welding. It's,
hey, you, the guy drooling, come here.
Hey, you look like you live in mom's basement.
I can't wait till biology class they start handing out new X-Men books.
Yeah. See, why wouldn't you want to go in and be a biologist? Because
Four, you can get space particle rays.
Don't bring up the fact that cosmic radiation actually does mutate vegetables in China, and they've had good results with it.
Okay, sweet. The more you know.
I am a cauldron of
useless
shit. Trivia.
No, it's not even trivia, just shit. Okay. Newts. The news and notes.
What news do we have?
Daredevil, thank God, is back at Marvel Studio.
Now,
I knew you were going to talk about Daredevil.
Aha, yeah. Got you, fucker.
Now, they were owned by Fox.
It was by Fox.
And then they came back because...
Well, because they did not do another movie or have something in production, and after a certain period of time... It reverts back to Marvel.
Now,
which
I
is
thought
why,
that they were going to do a real quick shitty one just to keep the rights, but then there was some deal about...
No,
like,
they did. It was called the original Daredevil with Ben Affleck.
No, they looked into doing it, but they also thought about the other one that they did with Ben Affleck. They were thinking, is this a character that we want to really... They obviously want to keep it for having it as a license, then they're trying to think in the long term, if we just churn out a shitty one, we're going to waste a lot of money on it just to try to keep it. The cost, you know, of it was like, let's just get rid of it.
Realistically, I mean, I think they need to wait another 5 to 10 years before they release another Daredevil movie. You know, for as much as I hate to say, because I'd love to see it done properly, but you need to let that other one just fade off a little bit more.
Dude, it hasn't already faded from your memory?
No, it's burned into my memory.
Oh, no, no.
They made another Ghost Rider really quick.
Yeah, well,
the first one did so good.
That's their own fault. But
a big thing coming from the Avengers movie is obviously the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it is going to have Agent Coulson in it, and they will, in the first episode, explain how he is alive.
Well, that first episode is going to have a shit ton of ratings.
Yeah, there's going to be a ton of people watching that. But here's the kicker. The talk of how he's alive, he obviously faked his own death, and Nick Fury, tried to orchestrate it.
Well, Nick Fury put a little blood on his mint Captain America cards, which is bullshit.
He ruined the cards just to try to inspire the team. But what they're saying is he just held his breath. He played it so well that he held his breath, and that's how then everyone thought he is dead.
So Agent Coulson was like the Greg Louganis of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
For me, that doesn't explain the giant fucking Thor shield or scepter going through his chest. Like,
they have super science in that world, you know? You can heal anyone.
But as the explanation of held his breath, I'm hoping to God that
time travel,
come up with something else besides... Man, he was a good
Obamacare.
Actor.
It was Obamacare.
Don't even start. There's no politics on this show.
But I can't wait to watch that show and find out the real reason he is back.
Yeah. Yes. When's it scheduled to start?
Next year. It's filming right now. I think next...
So fall?
Fall season?
No, I think January, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Really? So it doesn't even get a full season?
Well, yeah, but it probably wouldn't because... Most shows now don't have a full season. They have their fall show for like eight episodes, and then they have their mid season finale, and then like it goes like Christmas and like The Voice season 7.
It's 13 episodes strung out into like 9 months.
So. Yeah. All right, got some other movie news. This one I'm actually excited about. X-Men, well, yeah, I know, right? I like X-Men. X-Men Days of Futures Past is going to have Warpath and Bishop in it. So I'm super excited about that.
I was pretty sure Bishop would make an appearance, particularly since that story arc about the future and everything.
Wait, is there more time travel talk?
But see, now where Bishop comes in is... in the cartoon series in that, not in the comic.
No, yeah, in the original comic he wasn't there,
Not at that point.
The idea, though, that the character Bishop comes from a dystopian future where the Sentinels are, have been all incarcerated and stuff like that, that is still at kind of the heart of his origin story, so the fact that he's going to make an appearance or be in the movie is not surprising to me, and in fact, I would be a little dismayed if he wasn't.
No, but kind of cool. Like, this movie's still a little over a year away, and I can't wait. Like, I mean, I'm more excited about this movie than I have any other X-Men movie to date. Cool. So,
well, going back to the Avengers movie and talking about all things Avengers, friend of the show, Joss.
Joss Whedon, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show who's, I don't think, ever heard the show.
It'd be awesome if he did. He kind of let this little cat out of the bag that in the new Avengers movie coming out, there will be a one of his two favorite comic book characters, a brother-sister act. So who do you think is the brother-sister?
The Wonder Twins?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch? What?
Yes. Oh, Adora and Adam from He-Man?
Diego and Dora.
No, that's not that. But obviously, he didn't exactly say who it is. But those are the only two brother sister people on the Avengers, which is Quicksilver.
Unless you find
and
out that Hank Pym and Janet Van Damme are brother sister.
Well, oh, see, not going to make me think though, because I mean, well, yeah, but see, you got to be careful because of the X-Men rights. But yeah, I think Avengers.
But they were Avengers first, right? And actually, was it Kevin Feige, head of Marvel Studios, actually talked about that.
Who?
That both, he's the head of Marvel Studios.
Kevin who?
Feige? F-I-E-G-E?
Oh, Feige?
Feige, yeah.
Yeah.
He actually said in an interview when this kind of came out of, is that possible? Is people? He goes, they are Avengers, but they are also mutants. We can't use the word mutants or talk about Magneto, but they can then be split between the two studios in that sense. So
that's really interesting.
They came out as Avengers first, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting that Marvel can't use a certain word because other people can't use certain words because Marvel says they can't. Marvel.
That sounds racist.
Yeah. Marvel and DC, apparently, they own the S word. If you want to get into the racist thing,
I'll say shit.
No.
Whatever. Succotash?
Snatch? I don't know. Now, apparently, Marvel and DC have a copyright or a patent or whatever it may be with the word superhero.
Do we have to pay them royalties now?
Superhero, superhero, superhero. I sure as fuck hope not. well, we're talking about Marvel. But I didn't know this, that the word superhero is basically owned by them. And it came to light because there is a publisher, writer, comic creator guy who he created a book called A World Without Superheroes. And DC and Marvel, like, apparently he's sold like around 1,000 copies.
That's since 2006.
Yeah.
Sold 1,000 copies.
That's
so kind of going down the trend of articles. I mean,
oh, wow. You deal with Jim later.
Sorry, Jim.
Yeah. There have been at least 35 other people that Marvel and DC have prevented from using the S word, you know, in their comics up till now. But this guy, he's actually, you know, kind of raising a stink.
Well, as he says, it's his freedom of speech, which is true. The word superhero has been used in the past before they've even had the rights to that.
Yeah, they said that, you know, in the article that I read, which was from, I think, the New York Daily News, is that superhero, according to this guy's attorney, superhero was used as a term, as a one-word phrase or term in 1917, which is before either one of those companies existed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said the word is in the dictionary. So how can you have a trademarked word in the dictionary? I mean,
well, second biggest thing with patent law, too, is a patent is a protection for one company. Two people can't own the same patent or for the terminology of it.
Especially when they're rival companies.
Well, and that's their other argument on there. But, you know, I think the one of the other things, though, is that at some point when it's not a brand name and it becomes part of the daily context, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, how many times, you know, I mean, this is going to date me a little bit, but I mean, everybody has heard, yeah, I'm going to go make a Xerox of that. Well, you know, that they fought hard.
God, you are ancient.
A Xerox.
Yeah, I'm going to make a Xerox of it. Or hand me a Kleenex. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, no, what about Puffs? Nobody ever says hand me a Puffs. You know.
Yeah.
Unless you're high.
Yeah. No. Dude. Yeah. Oh, that's actually, we should check with an elegant weapon. Yeah, find out what those guys think. But, you know, I think it's kind of bullshit that they own the word superhero.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and I'm fans of both companies.
I think if they're that insecure that they're actually pursuing, it's one thing to like, yeah, we own the right to that, but we're only going to do it if like some multimillionaire tries to cash in on it. But for a dude who sold like 1,000 comics, that they're like, we want our percentage. I think that's real.
Well, and I think it was like they got the word trademarked for toys in 1980, and they got it for comics in 1981. So it's like, come on,
Did we ever talk about the fact that Marvel argued that that their toy line for mutant figures?
We talked about it on humans. Facebook.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we talked about it on
they're not
Facebook.
Humans, so okay.
All right. There's
stupid legal battles.
We talked about it before, the secret origin of Tony Stark, and my mind just boggling of what the fuck. Everyone, out of any character, they know his entire life story. Everyone knows he's Iron Man. People know where he's from.
He started off as a manager at 7-Eleven with his own podcast with his friends. And
later tonight, he will have his own Iron
Later on, he'll decide to be a welder. Little did you know, he was inspired to be a welder.
It just reminds me of the jerk with Steve Martin. I grew up as a poor black child. Yeah. You know?
They just released a teaser picture, poster, whatever, of Enter the Stark 7, and it's the distraction, the brains, the grunt, the spy, the bombshell, the muscle, and the alien. What? Alien? Like, he's...
Is he Mexican?
That's Dum Dum Dugan is the muscle.
Yeah, I know. And that's the only cool part about it. But this just seems like it is a dumb story, backstory.
It's
but because
dumb story?
Yes. But because, obviously, they want to sell more
is
Iron
that,
Man books
is
because
that Thaddeus,
of...
That's Thunderbolt Ross, isn't he? He's the grunt.
Yep.
This seems to be more about his father, though. Oh, no, he's the spy?
Can I raise my hand and say I don't give a fuck on this one? Because like, I don't
Can
get
I
it.
Just say that they took the number 7 and put it in place of the V for the word 7, and I think that the movie 7 did that, and that they should sue Marvel for infringing upon their trademarked... writing of the word 7.
They I should. Care about this because this is my story.
All right, so moving on. But still speaking of Marvel. Marvel signed up to do Diamond Digital, which will allow retailers to sell digital codes for their comics.
So they're going to sell digital diamonds.
So you can walk into a store and buy a digital comic.
Digital code. So
why? Why?
I don't know. But it's something that's out there, so keep your eye out for it.
When do you guys think DC and other companies are going to start doing that, then?
Next month?
Because Diamond, I'm thinking Diamond.
Diamond Distribution.
Diamond Distribution, okay. So if they're plugging it with Marvel, then what about the other comic book
They
companies?
May have already done it. I don't know.
Just like through Comixology or something like that?
Well, yeah, I have no clue. So... one other quick note that I have is Hoax Hunters, the title from Image Comics that came out this year, is looking like it's going to get transferred into film adaptation. So that's pretty much everything I've got for news this week. You guys got anything else for Newts?
Oh, Matt, you got any more comic books to talk
to
about
review?
I got one quick one. I mean, you guys have any feelings about Walmart having an exclusive on pre-sale of Man of Steel tickets?
Walmart?
Yeah, Walmart, yeah. So if you want to see the movie the day before it comes out, you can go to Walmart and buy exclusive tickets, and then you also have access to buy... The Blu-ray copy, and you get a free digital comic book.
I'm mostly opposed to the fact that I'd have to see the people in Walmart when I went in there to buy my ticket. But
and smell.
Yeah.
it's like a convention.
Yeah, it's like Comic-Con all over.
But we're spoiled here because we don't have to go to Walmart.
No.
We go to Meijer.
Yeah.
The rest of the country, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're stuck at going to BJ's.
Yeah.
BJ's?
You guys don't know about BJ's?
No.
I know about BJ's.
No, BJ's. It's the Costco in the Northeast.
Okay. All right.
The more you know.
Time for a little Best on Tap, I think.
Best on Tap, what is it?
Best cover of the week this week is Xenoscopes, Grim Fairy Tales Unleashed, number 1 of 6. And I picked cover B. By Jamie Tyndall, and it has. Hold on, I'm not handing you this cover until I put it back into the book because you don't know how to handle a comic, Matthew.
I'm gonna try to fold it.
Yeah, but it is. It has the daughter of Van Helsing on the front, very steampunkish style, like corset weapons.
A ridiculous number of knives, stakes, and crosses to...
Oh, not to mention vials of holy water on her garter belt.
I count at least 12 different watches and or gauges.
Yeah. Gorgeous cover. And we aren't going to talk about the book because it's only about the cover.
Yeah. But that's... I definitely say as far as the Vampire Hunter as a genre for steampunk, I think they do a good job. And Xenoscope, well, their ladies are... They're pretty.
They are known for being pretty. I think all we have left, then, is Booze in a Book. Am I right, Tony?
Yep.
All right. Well, Booze in a Book this week, then, is Deathmatch number 5 from Boom Studios, written by Paul Jenkins, art by Carlos Magno. I am pairing this with Toxic Sludge from Blue Point Brewing Company, and this is a black IPA with a 7% alcohol by volume. And I'm pairing these because, honestly, I think both the beer and the book could easily be passed up by a lot of people, primarily due to their names. And I don't think either of them should be passed up. The Toxic Sludge is a dark beer with just the right amount of bitterness and hoppiness, and the book is a perfect combination of superhero action with the human element and struggle mixed in. So go buy them both, and I can promise you that you'll all be thanking me later.
I think the can looks pretty sweet.
Well, it's a good busy. First of all, it tells you clearly that it's 7% alcohol, which I love that.
Yeah, I hate when I actually have to look for that for the ABV on a fucking can.
I would have thought though that it was something like Mountain Dew malt liquor.
Extreme! Oh, we got to make some extreme malt liquor.
Okay.
We got to talk to Nick. So there's booze in the book.
What do you guys got for last call?
Avengers, New Avengers, Uncanny Avengers. Yeah, they're all pretty good.
Oh, so just... Avengers. If it says Avengers?
I'm not getting Avengers Arena, Secret Avengers,
which you should have gotten Avengers Arena, because that's in my last call. Yeah. Great book.
That's why you get it.
Yeah. Amala's Blade, number 1 from Dark Horse. Astonishing X-Men, number 61 from Marvel. Deadpool Killustrated wrapped up this week. East of West, number 2, which the second printing came out Wednesday as well, of number 1. The Jupiter's Legacy, number 1, from Mark Millar and Frank Quitely, was actually pretty damn cool. If you like superheroes and don't like a lot of bullshit, it's a really good book, and I'd recommend picking up.
I hate bullshit.
It started a little slow, and I think it's...
Cow
some,
patties?
I think it's tied in with Lost somehow, because there's a special island that gives you powers.
Do they have Apollo candy bars?
No, they don't. They don't. But there were
they
like...
polar bears?
No, but there were like 5-gallon buckets of ranch dressing. So, no.
Use that stuff for sunscreen.
Yeah. And then finally, The Answer, number 404, wrapped up. This was a great series. And
was it 42?
No. No. Although it looks like it could possibly go 42 issues, because I think they're going to make this into a regular series.
So did he answer the question? Or
the question was answered, and you realize that the answer
is to the question
is the answer to the answer, which is the question.
So he is also the question, the comic book character?
He looks like an exclamation point to me.
No, it's just because he's happy to see you.
Riddle me this.
See, normally it looks like a question mark, but he really likes you, Matt.
Aww.
He hates teaming up with the Riddler.
Yeah. So that
the Riddler hates him.
Yeah. Dude, stop it. Stop saying the answer.
So that's it.
See, the only thing I have to give a shout out for is you whipped out your previews book, and I can't wait.
For Batman 66?
Batman 66, all because of, you have Joker, Cesar Romero,
yeah,
and they pencil in a mustache. Because that was the only thing, that always cracked me up about watching those old shows. You see Joker, and Cesar Romero in whiteface, and he never shaved his mustache.
Yeah, they just painted over it.
They just painted it over it. It was hilarious. And they illustrate that in Batman 66, which is on the front of previews,
which I think is coming out in July.
So sign me up.
All right, guys, I think that does it.
That does it.
Put a fork in me. We're done.
We need to get to go into the roller derby. So
oh, that's right. Yeah, we got to drink up. Oh, do they sell beer at the roller derby?
Yep.
Oh, fuck
you,
yes.
You guys seen the Raggedy
Next hand. Time on Drunk on Comics.
Tony and Derek have been beaten to hell by roller derby chicks. Girls. All right, I think that's going to do it.
I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
Kevin!
Excelsior!
Which is Tony.
Yeah. No, Iron Man, bitch.
Oh, god damn it. All right, well, keep reading those comics, guys. We'll be back next week to talk to you about them then.
I'm going to burn down my house tonight.